is our second attempt at the Chamber Podcast with Rebecca Maxwell. Rebecca, thank you for being here.
Sure, happy to be.
You know, as we get ready to talk through some of these questions, I always want to revisit the purpose of the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce, and it's to grow the economy, help businesses be successful, and have a positive impact on the community. And so, obviously, you're a big part of that, an outstanding leader in the community, been involved with lots of different organizations. Always amazed that I can see your fingerprints, and also I can kind of see the record and go, oh, Rebecca Maxwell's been here. So very, very great, a really good success story. So appreciate you doing this. We're not going to talk about the chamber per se, but we're going to talk about your business. And I want to just have this conversation about the success that you've had. And so starting out, I just want to ask the first question in terms of what inspired you to launch your business and how did you get started?
Sure. While this is not about the chamber is certainly probably going to be weaved through the conversation because it was a big part of me starting my business. But in the very beginning, it was 2013. I was working full-time at a nonprofit here in Southeast Texas, and one of the board members knew my educational background, which was business and marketing, and they were wanting to get involved in social media as a business, but did not know how to do that. So they simply pulled me aside one day after a board meeting and said, hey, I know your background is marketing. That's what you're doing with this nonprofit. Can you come and help us get started with a Facebook page? And, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how we should write content or what we should post on here. Can you just get it up and running for us and turn it over to one of our team members to take on? So it was very organic and natural. I had no necessarily grand plans of starting a business, but they were very kind. And Mr. Clark with Bill Clark Pest Control sat down with me and had a conversation and ended up asking me at the end of the kind of interview, well, how much is this going to cost me? And I very genuinely and naively said, I have no idea. I have never done this before. So he was very gracious. He and Barry Bryant and Josh Smith let me come in and get a Facebook page started and handed it back off to him and a couple of other marketing pieces. And at the end, Mr. Clark gave me a check and gave me a letter of recommendation and said this is how much that service was worth to me. So that's how my business got started, and it just kind of grown from there.
But obviously you were doing this on the side.
Yes.
And you were working full time.
Yep.
But you came to that point where you decided, okay, I'm going to make the leap and do this gig economy I've been doing on the side and do it full time and take that risk. What kind of brought you to that decision point?
It was 8 years working a full-time job and kind of doing this in the evenings. And fortunately, I had some flexible positions that let me take time during the day to go meet with potential clients. And I would just work late or come in early. And about 8 years in, I started making as much money on my part-time side gig as my full-time job. And that was right around the pandemic. So I didn't go start thinking of going full-time, and then COVID hit, and I thought, well, let me stick around with my full-time job and see what happens. So let's see, 2021, wow. Things were still good. So I said, okay, let me take the leap. And fortunately had, you know, the support of friends, family, and I spoke to a couple of clients who I was working with at the time and told them I was thinking of going full-time, and they said, you should do it. We've been waiting for you to go full-time. And so they actually turned around and gave me more work because they said they believe that I could do it. And so here we are a couple of years later.
So obviously when you were working full-time and you said you spent 8 years doing this as a gig on the side, did you ever get to the point or did you get frustrated and go, man, this is never going to take off the way I thought it's supposed to go? I mean, 8 years is a long time. And I know people think a lot of times of overnight success,
right?
Instant success. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are in our culture. But talk about that 8 years. I mean, that's a long time to keep after something.
Yeah, that's the joke I think right now is the 10-year overnight success, right? You know, it originally started off when I just started making a little extra money. It was a way for me to pay off my student loan for my after my graduate degree. And so I thought, okay, well, if I can just pay this off with this extra money, then great. So I did that first, and then it became, well, let me save some money for a down payment on a house. And a couple of years in, I thought, wow, could this really become a full-time career? And there were some points along the way that I thought, do I really want to do this? And you have, of course, as an entrepreneur, you have all of the things like, you know, you have to think of retirement, health insurance, and other benefits and things like that. And so that was a difficult decision in some ways, but on the other hand, I felt like I can always find another job if I need to. I was cocky enough to to have that feeling.
Yeah, you hit on a key thing, health insurance. And that seems to be a lot, the biggest roadblock for an entrepreneur to make the leap is, what am I going to do about health insurance?
Yeah, well, and I still hear that, and friends of mine who also own businesses, that's a concern. Our philosophy is, if we can make more than enough money to cover our own health insurance, then go for it. So that's the way we do it. And of course, if there's anyone who's listening to this and starting their own business, the savings account is key. If you're going to go full time, have a healthy savings account so you have a little bit of a cushion.
Yeah, they used to say 6 months.
Yes.
And now the experts are telling us you need to have 12 months.
Yep.
And that has grown as a result of the pandemic. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face in running your business?
A lot, like other people probably deal with, time management. Right now I have someone who does my bookkeeping for me, and I have a couple of contractors I work with, but otherwise it's me and my time. What can I manage? And then of course technology is always evolving and changing in the marketing industry, especially AI is a big topic right now, and how that's going to change the landscape and what jobs are going to be replaced with technology. So it's trying to stay up to date on all of that. And then trends, you know, for a marketing consultant, what are the trends? Where are the audiences right now? Who's your target audience? And how do you reach them? So trying to keep up with all of that.
Yeah, you know, AI, they talk about writing, and that's one of the, you know, GPT is one of those things that does the writing. I know Grammarly just launched their AI document, but that's really kind of lower level stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it's basic stuff. So it really, and in a lot of sense for your business, it opens up doing some of that higher level stuff with the efficiency of AI,
exactly,
helping you move quicker and faster, and I guess better use of your time.
Exactly. I have started using an AI program just as kind of a brainstorming point, and then I take that and go from there. So I've found it beneficial for me, and actually is going to help me continue on with my business. So I think it's great.
So how do you stay motivated and obviously innovative in your business? And obviously you're in one of those sectors that it is changing, if not monthly, every couple of months there's something new that's rolling out that can have an impact in what you do. So what's your thought process on that? I know you touched on it just a little bit with AI, but what's your thought process on, you know, being innovative and staying up on those things? Talk about maybe some of the conferences that you do, or some of the things that you kind of tap into just to kind of get that sense of where things are going.
Fortunately, we have a couple of different national organizations that focus not only on marketing, but especially in the digital world, social media specifically. So it is a balance of figuring out what is coming that you want to plug into for businesses. At the same time, we have such a large demographic, and, you know, the baby boomer population, there's a mixture of what's coming and then what is still working that you want to continue doing. And so I have a couple of different memberships and national associations and international associations that put out regular, you know, papers, research, so you can keep up to date in that way. And then there's some marketing conferences. Luckily, because of COVID, they all have virtual options. So I am able to tune into some of their keynote presentations and some of their research without having to travel. So I've started doing that from COVID.
So this is a little bit of off the wall question. We were interviewing consultants this morning on economic development, and they all talked about marketing aspects, and social media was big.
Yep.
Just because of cost effectiveness. And talk a little bit about how social media and being cost effective versus traditional media, print, radio, TV.
I always tell people social media is not the end all. You know, it kind of depends on what your overall scope and strategy is for your marketing budget. I 100% believe social media is, like you said, a very cost effective way to get your business out there and stay up to date. And so many people use social media as a search tool. So instead of going to a search platform like Google, they're going to Facebook or YouTube or something and looking up businesses or asking for recommendations on Facebook or on LinkedIn. in. So if you are active on social media, people easily tag your business, and it's a great referral kind of digital word of mouth. The traditional platforms, though, especially, again, your target audience, a lot of print companies have now gone to some type of digital platform, so online ad space, billboards, digital billboards, TV, radio, all of those things I think can complement your overall marketing plan, again, depending on your target audience.
So switching gears here a little bit, talking about leadership, what are some of the most important leadership qualities that you think a person needs to have, whether they're running their own business or being involved in the community? What do you think they should be able to bring to the table?
The two big ones for me are always integrity and communication skills. So with integrity, you know, if you are starting from an honest point and you have some kind of a moral compass that people know that you're not afraid to disagree in a respectful way, but they know where your direction is and what that you're honest and you have integrity, I think that gets you a long way, especially during difficult situations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then communication skills. Especially nowadays, there is so much information out there, whether it's correct or not is another question. So being able to communicate to your team in whatever aspect that is, whether you have a group of employees you're working with and being able to communicate your vision for the organization, or if it's a membership organization or a board of directors or other volunteers you're working with, being able to communicate and make sure everyone's kind of has the same goals, the same vision, or at least understands what the vision is.
Yeah. So what advice would you give your younger self, looking back now, if you were 21, 22 years old, what would you tell your younger self?
Well, I'm going to tell a couple of things that my dad told me, actually, and then a couple of other points. But I always remember back to my dad, and I've probably told you the story before, but my dad, when I was middle school or early high school, he told me, and my siblings, wherever you are living and working, it is important to give back, and in whatever capacity you can. That may be dollars, or it may be your skill set or your time. It doesn't have to just be financial. So he and my mother both instilled that in us from a young age, and I've always been involved in the community and given back and volunteered in some way, and that has opened up so many doors because they taught us to do that just, you know, wholeheartedly without any expectation of any kind of return on investment with that. But through being involved in different organizations and trying to give back and help the community be a better place, that always ends up coming back around. And I never thought that would happen to the capacity that it has. So
And it really improves your brand, right?
Yes.
And I think sometimes people don't think about having a brand of their own, but being involved in the community and giving back kind of enhances that brand.
Yeah. Something else I would say, something that I've learned through the years that I would tell my younger self, and I wish I had paid attention to it a little bit more because it's a cliche that's out there, I think, but no one cares as much as you think they do, right? And that's good and bad. So, you know, if you're worried about taking your business full time and you're worried about what people will think, someone's always going to think that's a crazy idea, doesn't matter, do it, or just, you know, do what you think is best for yourself and what your direction is.
Yeah, I always tell folks, don't believe everything you think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
So work-life balance is obviously a big topic in the environment and workplace today. I've told folks I'm not surprised I get emails from you that are post-dated, 11:30 at night or, 1 o'clock in the morning. So talk about your approach on work-life balance.
Well, as you just said, it probably doesn't look very good to a lot of people how my work-life balance is. I was in a lecture several years ago, back when I was still fresh with my business, and the presenter said, there is no work-life balance. And I kind of jumped for joy in my seat just because I've never figured out that work-life balance. So for me, I think it's more important to be passionate about what you're doing and understand why you're in the business you are in, or you're in an organization, because I think that motivation helps get you through some of the burnout and helps prevent some of the burnout. For me personally, I I work a lot, and that's okay for me right now. That's my priority in life, and my priorities may change, you know, if I get married and have kids one day. So for me, it's a lot of work, and then taking time off, you know, every couple of months to recharge, get away from the phone, get away from the computer, which is rare for me, and then getting back to it when I come back from a short vacation or something.
So when you talk about a short vacation, is it like a 2 or 3 day, 4 day weekend?
Or yep.
That's
the best I've got right now. Okay. You know, is running your own business. That is a joke that you can never totally step away when you're running, especially in my situation, not having a large team of people to help with the workload. So yeah, if I go 3-4 months of working long hours, you know, over the weekends, then if I can get to a long 3 day weekend and kind of set the phone aside for a little bit, that helps.
What was one of the biggest career mistakes that you made, and what did you learn from it?
That's always an interesting question, because fortunately, I try to look at any kind of mistakes or, you know, failures as an opportunity to learn. So I look back at things that maybe I did too quickly or didn't think through enough, and fortunately, I've learned from them. I think my skills have improved as a marketing professional. So there are some projects that I took on probably a little bit too early, or probably should have asked for some extra help on. Fortunately, especially here in Southeast Texas, all of my clients have been very forgiving, especially those who've been with me for 10 years and have seen that growth. And then there are some clients actually in some projects I probably tried too hard to make work and ended up having to fire some clients that I probably should have fired earlier, because it just was so much time and energy and effort, and it just was not a good fit. So instead of trying to make it work, I should have just acknowledged earlier, hey, you need to find somebody else who can do a better job for you and fit, be more in line with their goals and expectations.
And I guess with experience, now you recognize early on, probably in the initial interview or conversations, this is going to be a good fit. Nope, this isn't the right fit for me.
Yes, exactly.
And you can say, you know what, maybe I can recommend somebody that can do a good job for you.
And that comes with some experience too, because obviously I know more people in the area and outside the area who have marketing skills and even larger marketing firms. So yes, it's much easier to say, hey, I'm, you know, personality or whatever, I'm not the best fit, so let me connect you with somebody, and that helps.
So what do you see for your business? You know, you've been at this for quite a while. You've seen a lot of changes. As you kind of scan the horizon, I used to talk 5 years out, and now I'm to the point of saying, okay, let's look 2 or 3 years out. So what do you see for your business over the next 2 or 3 years? Do you see it growing, or do you see it, you know, I know you have a philosophy, I don't want to expand or scale up and not be able to sustain it. So talk about kind of how you see your business over the next couple of years and what you think you'll be doing.
Well, the short answer is I still got to pay my bills. So long-term strategies is that. Yes, more seriously, I'm still taking on some new clients. I do that slowly, like you said, just to manage the time commitment and project scale. And I'm starting to shift a little bit. I've had more people ask me about overall long-term strategy. So, you know, I started off over 10 years ago just focusing on social media content specifically, and that has grown partially through my own educational endeavors and kind of the market space evolving into how are we using a marketing budget for a small to medium-sized local business in the most effective way, instead of just, you know, here's our budget, we're going to throw it all around and not really know what we're going to do. Let's look at a 3 or 4 year plan. Where do we want to be? How much does that business want to grow? Do they have the employees to sustain that growth? And what all do we want to do in a holistic marketing approach? Yeah. Not just social media, not just traditional media, but overall, what are we doing?
Do you find yourself having to manage expectations?
Yes.
You know, someone
yes.
says, hey, I spent $10,000 over the last year and I'm not seeing the growth that I expected, and this isn't working. And so talk about managing expectations.
You definitely have to manage expectations, because marketing is not necessarily a sudden shot in the arm for businesses, especially during you know, negative economic times when a business may be struggling, you know, they want to, hey, can I give you $1,000 and you can give me $10,000 and, you know, in a month? That's not necessarily how it works. Maybe depending on the product, you might be able to do some of that, but you do have to manage the expectations and think about my approach, at least for me and what I do, is I'm talking about your overall brand recognition, right? So it's not just that we're going to get you on Facebook and you're suddenly going to make $10,000 in sales. It's this is going to enhance your brand recognition in the community.
Yeah, I always talk to folks about the law of the harvest.
Yes.
And yeah, no seed time, no harvest time, you know, and it's not going to happen instantly. You got to put the work in. You got to, you know, got to put it in the right soil. You got to be going after the right folks, the right customer before you're going to see that success. Our last question, Rebecca, is finally, what's your top three core values? I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier in terms of leadership, and I know that kind of, you know, really kind of segues into your core values, but talk to us about your top three core values.
Well, I'm going to steal a little bit from a nonprofit organization, because if anyone knows me, they know I'm involved not only in the chamber, but in Rotary. And I really think Rotary's four-way test is such a beautiful way of encompassing some core values. So, you know, number one, is it the truth? And their four-way test is for everything we think, say, and do, right? So if you are in a room with Rotarians and you begin with, is it the truth? That's perfect for me. I tell people if I could have all Rotarians as my clients, life would be so much easier because you're all starting with the same basis. Yeah. And then is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And then will it be beneficial to all concerned? So for me, I, you know, in life, I kind of stop and think about that every once in a while, especially if you're coming up to a difficult decision or if you have a situation you have to handle, whether it's in a business or a nonprofit organization. If you follow the four-way test, it usually works out okay.
Yeah, and I agree. I always talk about folks when we launched the INE Network. One of the core rules is to seek fairness, not advantage.
Exactly.
And that is also falls in line with Rotary. So, well, Rebecca, thank you for joining us. Hopefully this is recorded and we're going to have something to send out to everybody. Just as a reminder, the purpose of the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce is to grow the economy, to help businesses be successful, and to have a positive impact. So thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll hear this on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.